Welcome back to the Wolf of Queen Street podcast. Today on the show, Will Fleming, video producer and fellow podcaster. And as I said I would say this on my show, the godfather of podcasting in New Zealand.
Old.
Huh?
Old.
No, I do not know anyone in the podcast game in New Zealand that has been in it for longer. I think he started around the 2014, have had multiple podcasts. Also, one of the founder and from Campfire Studios, where we're filming in right now, yourself and Guy. You started your podcast game in My Kiwi Life. You went to Please Blow My Mind, A Beacon of Hope, and you've had multiple on the side for other brands and other initiatives. But I always said, always many, many years ago, we met and spoke online until we met up a few years ago, and you were sort of the OG guy that was the front runner for what it is around the podcast game. And finally, Will, welcome to the show.
Dude, it's awesome to sit here with you. Yeah, just like you've been following me, I've been following you. I first saw you at Gary V, the one in Auckland. And I was like, who's the dude in the hat? You know, just like your last guest said, there's a bit of an aura around Tony Robbins. And I was like, he's somebody. And it turns out you're Lawrence. And bro, it's nice to be here with you.
Funny enough, Gary V insulted me that day. But that's right. I was lucky enough. I was working as part of a different brand. A couple of guys out of America and myself, and we had a brand, and we had this idea to make a brand called Made to Influence. And it was gonna be a turnkey solution for content creators and all the rest of it. And so I was helping out, and then I went there and I was able to ask Gary V a question. I asked him how to pay attention and how to get people's attention. And he insulted me how bad of a kiss I would have been when I was a teenager, right?
Wow.
That's funny, and it was part of his story. It made sense and all the rest of it. But it's great. It's on his YouTube channel. You can hear me asking the question.
I mean, what's wrong about that is he should recognize, as I recognize, as you recognize in me, our search.
Yeah.
He should recognize that, but he shat on you. Actually, Jordan Peterson did that to me back when you could like Jordan Peterson. I went to his live show and I said, I waited around and they had questions and I put my hand up first, and that's quite hard. I'm quite introverted. And he said, what's your question? And I said, what blows your mind? He said, well, that's a stupid question. Yeah, I don't like Jordan Peterson anymore.
I don't think anyone does. I think I'm one of the very few people that actually still likes him. It's crazy. Like, I can't even mention Jordan Peterson in conversation. Oh, you're looking over at someone in the corner, right?
There's a 3-hour video that Guy Pigden will put you onto, and it sorts Jordan out. I'm the same. I like Jordan Peterson before whatever happened.
You know? I still like him because he's still good pieces. Like, I missed. Did I miss something? He's not. He's
no,
not.
He,
different
he nearly
from,
died.
I know he nearly died because he went on off the tangent.
And then
right?
He just spent too much time in the whatever the fires, and it's too much. It's too much for anyone.
Yeah, but But anyway, come back to you, not Jordan Peterson, right? Well. Been a decade. This year will be a decade since the podcasting game, right? The podcasting scene itself would maybe be 15 years. I think there's much. There was, Joe Rogan got into it within about 2 years. Duncan's last name, was one of the first guys that
Greaves, is it?
Green or Greaves, something like that. It was one of the first guys a few years earlier in that. And talk me through, how did you get into this world 10 years ago in New Zealand when almost would have been unheard of? Like, most other celebrity ones would have been maybe a year into it, if that.
Dude, it's funny because it feels like yesterday, but I know it's not. Kevin Smith was the podcaster. Other people that were rolling around at the time, Joe Rogan, but he wasn't the Joe Rogan of today. He was still advertising like a wanking device.
Yes.
And
the fleshlight.
That's right.
He still had the fleshlight, the first 200 episodes.
That's right. Yeah. And Mark Maron.
Yeah.
And the big thing about podcasting is data was expensive. You know, it wasn't like unlimited, so it was audio only. Mm. And so that's what I still think a podcast is. But of course, it's not this now.
Yeah.
It's video, it's content, it's these short clips. I was catching the bus to work. I used to work in television, and that's what I do. I'd catch it from East Auckland to Central. And I just got the shits with listening to radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll be back right after the break. You know, I just like, wow, what am I going to do for the break? And so podcast, I think I Googled what to do on a bus if you're bored, and the word podcast came up. And I just went down that rabbit hole, personally for me, it fit because I already had kids. I was had friends that were going out on the piss, you know, they were doing their thing and I didn't want to do that. I was still reasonably young 10 years ago, you know, I'm 40 something now and I was 30 something. And so it just kind of fit. And I thought, man, I can do this. I have that skill in like editing. That was my trade. And so I thought I can do that. So I brought SingStar microphones. I worked out how to plug them into a shitty old laptop. And that was me. I went around and I asked people if they would be on my podcast. My first podcast was actually before My Kiwi Life was called Off the Record. And it was just an audio podcast where I talked to people. And like my podcast stuff never changed, just everything else changed around me. You know, I think what changed is it became cool to ask deep questions. And for me, that was just an honest way of trying to process the world. Like, how do you process the world? What does life mean to you? Kind of philosophical questions that now where it's a bit wanky to talk about that. But back then, man, like no one, it was like no one was talking about mental health. You know, it was totally, it's only 10 years ago, but it's a totally different world.
It totally is. You know, it has... We have evolved around how we're doing, how we're doing the shows and everything else. Yeah, Joe Rogan's first 200 episodes are interesting because when I started my show in 2018, going into 2019, all my logic of starting this brand is I went and listened to every one of Joe Rogan's episode for the first, I think I did the first 500 episodes. So I listened to like a show every day for like a year. I researched because he was the biggest at that stage. And the worst of all, in the first, this is how crazy it was, and this is why I talk to anyone, like if you're ever thinking in getting into this game and or starting any business or initiative, anything, the first thing you want to do is always want to have record on it. Because if you ever go to Joe Rogan's very first episode, Will and Guy, you guys will appreciate this and find this fun. I don't know if you've ever gone back to the video of the very first one he did. They're sitting there and they go, okay, let's go live. And they're sitting there and it's him and Duncan on the episode. And then Duncan's like, oh, look, we can do editing. We can make it snow. And they push a button and it starts snowing on the video. And they're like, look, we can make it look like the colors changed.
I have seen that.
Yeah. And there's this, and you watch it and go, fuck, this is horrendous. And it's horrible. But you look at that. To where he is top three podcaster any country in the world at the moment. What did he get? What did he get from Spotify now? A couple of hundred million on the latest contract, right?
That's it.
And 15 years, yeah, it does seem like a long time, but he's now one of the best and richest podcasters in the world. But that's not just from podcasting, that's from business and life and the rest of it. It does evolve, but you always want to look back, and it's always cool to be able to look back and go
100%.
How bad he was. And to where it is now.
And the lesson of following things you want to do.
Yeah.
Like way more difficult than people give it credit for.
Yeah.
You know, we feel immense pressure, even all of us in the room now, to like toe the line. And you just get the sense with Joe Rogan, especially back then, like everyone I think, he says it, says don't do that.
Yeah.
And I, like my wife said that, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you spending time doing this? And I said, well, I enjoy it. Who knew that that would be a kind of secret to following that pathway, that you have to enjoy what you do, you know?
So you've done multiple shows starting in 2014. You know, you've said things have changed. Why has the podcast changed? So you've gone from, there was one that I didn't even find that you said before, My Kiwi Life.
Yeah.
And then you went, My Kiwi Life, Please Blow My Mind, A Beacon of Hope, which is a current podcast at the moment, right? You've done Let's Get Pacific. And you've done a few other initiatives with, you know, with organizations and stuff like that. But you've fundamentally gone through three rebrands and new names and new directions. Where was that from?
I think that's just like me growing as a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like My Kiwi Life was a collaboration with a fella called Paul Spain.
Mm-hmm.
We're still tight. And he's actually the godfather of podcasting. He was podcasting like 5 years before me. And so he started a network called Podcasts NZ.
Yep.
And that's where My Kiwi Life came under. But like, Lawrence, I didn't know what I had.
Mm-hmm.
In 2014, I was getting like 20 or 30,000 downloads an episode.
Crazy.
And I didn't know what that meant. I was having people come up to me and say, hey, man, I really enjoy your podcast. And I think it was just like great timing. There was heaps of available guests.
Yeah.
But that's the problem if you don't know what you have, you know? So I said, oh, I want to try something else now. And you know what I wanted to try? Vlogging like bloody Casey Neistat. And so I went on vlog and I did it for like 250 days back to back and got like two views on each video. But like, that's the power of hindsight, right? So Why did I keep changing? I think I tried to evolve it. Please Blow My Mind was just a, like, help me understand what blows your mind, and then I can
pull that information. Wasn't that out of the back of the van?
Back of the van, back of the garage.
Yeah.
Took my SingStar mics out again, you know, and it was just about connecting with people. And then A Beacon of Hope is probably this 40-year-old version of myself, someone who's learnt from listening to over 300 guests, you know, what blows their mind, how they process the world, the difference between, you know, light and dark, I guess, metaphorically. And then A Beacon of Hope was something I started after my mum passed, because that was another portal I had to walk through. Yeah. And so, like, if you ask me, you know, what are these all mean? They're a dude searching for where they fit in the world. You know, I come from a lovely upbringing with no pain. How does that fit into a world full of pain?
Yeah.
I had to go seek those answers, and I'm still trying to do that. But, you know, what I have learned is there's pain, and you better watch out for it, because it will drive you. And if you don't understand it, it'll consume you. And I know love, but I don't know pain. So I'm trying to learn both those realms to help me navigate the world.
You brought it up. You've had a special moment, and it'll always remain special, is you've had your mother on your show, right? And I know she passed within a year.
Just over a year off
that on that release. And I know it must be a surreal moment and a real special moment. I know the episode to you was exceptionally special. And I can imagine you looking back each year on that episode, you know, what that means to you, or, you know, being able to hear that conversation that you had with your mom.
Absolutely. Are your parents alive?
Yes.
Have you had them recorded?
No.
Okay, so that's your challenge. No, because one day they're not here, Lawrence.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that I can go back and listen to my mum's podcast. Guy teases me because I've actually turned my mum's recordings into AI.
Yeah.
So I talk to that version of her to ask questions. And that ghost, what do you call it, Guy? Ghost mum.
Ghost mum. That's cool but weird.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
It
is, but I tell you what it allows me to do. It allows me to sit here to talk about my mum without feeling that rush of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Because I miss her, but not like there's no trauma there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm using those conversations that I recorded to process the world.
Yeah.
I can go back and hear how she laughed, hear how she thought about things, talk about her upbringing. And like, that's one of the gifts podcasting has given me, is like, we're not podcasting, bro. We're like archiving our stories.
Yeah.
Think about your kids. They can go for hundreds of episodes and listen to their dad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a gift.
Yeah.
And truly, what a gift. We don't know how much of a gift it is, but like other people, I was thinking about the late Fessel Collins, right? Much of his online, I guess, archival will be other people's perspectives, the news, you know, negative comments, positive comments, things on the male race. That's not him.
Mm-hmm.
He was a family person, and he was a champion of his community. And those few podcasts that recorded him, like, you know, my podcast, Mandate Podcast, that is now an archive for his kids to go back and to view him through that prison, as I do with my mum. So, like, I don't know how I would have processed my mum's passing without podcasts in some ways. When she got cancer, I knew deeply that I needed to find the courage to get her on camera, on microphone. It's actually not that easy to do.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I champion people to like I'll champion you now.
Mm-hmm.
Get your folks on the podcast.
Yeah.
You have to.
That is a cool thing to do. I'll ask my dad. He likely told me to fuck off, but you know what?
Well, I'll ask him for you. And the mistake people make is they're like, Dad, I just want to ask you a few questions. Like, no, Dad, I want to interview you about your life so that my kids know your story.
Yeah.
Or write a book, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't have it where life's too busy and you pass away.
Yeah.
It's not acceptable, you know? So
That is a cool point.
Mm.
Yeah,
I hope that's a challenge. Come on, we've got a challenge.
Yeah, it's on the shelf. It's gone back on the shelf. There's quite a few things on the shelf, but it's on the shelf, right? My brain's my brain's just ticking, going. I'm just thinking of asking the question. I know my mom will say yes, my dad should do it, and it's just whether I'll get my dad in front of a camera and actually get him to talk.
I can help you with that, mate.
He's happy to talk, and it's just us, you know, and a couple of drinks, but it's actually getting him to really talk and talk through and all the rest of it. So,
well, it would be helpful if you say it's not going to go up online.
Yeah.
And you can lie and apologize later, but say it for archival purposes.
Yeah, totally. So coming through with the 10 years and stuff, talk me through, you know, let's go down to first the bare bones of the podcast award and stuff like that. Talk me through, you know, people that we've had someone on just before on episodes considering looking to get into it and stuff. Mm. 10 years ago, it wasn't the easiest in the world. And I know there's a big thing of yourself and launching this here and wanting to help other people. How is it now from, like, in someone in 2024, how is it now from a simple process of actually getting into the game?
Mm. I think I'd start by saying it's no longer a fringe word.
Yeah.
When I was first starting, when Guy was first starting, probably when you were first starting, it was still, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
It's like how people talk about influencers now, you know? Podcasting was just a weird, so what do you go talk about, you know? Now you're seeing businesses fully go into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so people have clicked on that you can talk, you can record, you can use it as little bite-sized bits of content. So it's fully integrated. And I don't know, Lawrence, what to make of that. I kind of like it, but I'm also like, wow, it's funny to see the world grow through your own eyes. You know, like I started by wanting to be a Joe Rogan, and where I'm at today is I'm so that like going viral for me would be you having your dad recorded. I like going to sleep at night thinking one more person's story recorded. Yeah. You know, I've had a lady sat where you are now. She had 2 weeks to live.
Yeah.
Her friends called me and said, can they come in here and record a podcast? She was in pain because she had cancer. And she had literally 2 weeks to live. She died 1 week later, and she told her story. And halfway through, she couldn't hold her neck up. You know, she was like this. And I said, do you want to stop? And she goes, love, I don't have time to stop. And so, like, that's where my whole mind is at now. It's like, yes, it's good for internet content. It's even good for staff building, you know, people coming together in podcasts. But it's most useful for recording your own story. So, dude, it's changed hard out. And you know, one of the interesting things is that podcast kind of goes against all algorithms. You could probably talk to this. You got like the TikTok stuff, which is short form. But for some reason, this long form, hours and hours of content online, people love it.
Yeah.
And you talk to anyone when they catch the bus, when they're most likely podcasting their way through the day. And so, you know, I just happened to luck my way into doing something that became popular. But make no mistake, I'm fighting really hard to be relevant in this space. You know, like still this studio provides someone a product that's just a bit too hard for them to do at home.
Yeah.
You know, you can talk to that. You've tried, right? And it's hard because people make the mistake of like there's two things with podcasting. There's the gear and then there's your topic. And I say to everyone, don't focus on the gear.
Yeah.
Unless you want to be a director or a cinematographer, you'll drive yourself insane. You can probably do it for 2 weeks, but how the hell are you going to edit every week?
Yeah.
You're better to focus on your idea and just do what you're doing, you know, get the best out of your spending time with people and come into a place like this and just hit record and go for it.
So one thing that anyone that's listening to this or watching that, it doesn't know, you know, everything you're doing here at the moment is because you're trying to drive like a life force of getting the message out there and sharing and, you know, and seeing how people are experiencing stuff and all the rest of it. But what about you?
Yeah. It's a good question, bro.
So we both sit on the opposite side of the table, right? And, you know, you've done a couple of hundred more than I've done. I've gone over a couple of hundred. And, you know, we always ask the other person, you know, but I'm saying to you now, what about you?
I honestly don't know. I'm 43. I got my first mentor at 41. The hell have I been doing for the other 40 years? I happen to be someone who's okay at some things, but I never knew what I was here to do. I'm the youngest of my generation, of my family. I'm the youngest sibling. I'm probably, by today's money, spoilt and privileged. I come from these two wonderful cultures, you know, my New Zealand European culture, my Cook Island heritage. So I felt part of things the whole way through my life. The problem is, Lawrence, is like once you hit 20 and 30, The world doesn't operate through my rose-tinted lens. Mm. The world's brutal. And I've been saying it to everyone I come across, like, if it's no joke, man, life's crushing.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that in like suicide stats. You can see that in mental health stats. We're just the lucky ones who get to kind of operate at what we do. So like I've had some like midlife crises, but at like 20.
Yeah.
And I've spent that 20 years at now 40 saying, okay, I think this is my direction. And I think it's revolved around in-person connection. You know, honestly, man, it's like, it's actually been a real challenge to find where I fit in the world. So why I bring up the mentor is because when I first met my mentor, successful businessman, you know, inducted into the New Zealand Hall of Fame business stuff, and I said, why are you mucking around with me? Why would you say yes to a meeting with me?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, will I recognize your search?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, do you? Is it so obvious that I'm searching? And he recognized it. And then he said to me, what's your why? And I said, oh, I think it's my family. I think, you know, I want to be a good person. He says, that's not a why. He said, you don't have a why, so you can have mine. And this is what he said to me. He said, your why now is to do what you want, when you want, as often as you want, with whomever you want or not.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, 99% of people, 99.9% of people can't say or not. So now guide your life by that. He did. He gave me that kind of gift, and he gave me another gift, and it was the gift of, this is going to sound weird, promise, it's not too weird if you look at it. There's lots of research on it. But he said there's a thing called like the theory of constraints.
Mm-hmm.
You might have heard of that, cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
And those things, you know, if you're going to have a business, you better make sure that your cause has a, you know, an effect that you can promise.
Yeah.
And he says, if it doesn't, then don't do it. So what did I do with that? Caught up with my friend Guy. We started Campfire Studios. You might think we produce good podcasts. That's one of the things we do. But our cause and effect is when you come in here with your guest,
mm-hmm.
you will leave feeling like money well spent.
Mm-hmm.
And I can promise you that every time. And I've done it with you 40 times now.
Yeah.
And every time, you might not like paying us, but at least you feel like it's money well spent. Yeah. So look, man, like, what am I doing with that? Well, I'm 40 years old. I'm realizing that the first 40 years were pluses in life. You know, I've heard it that the second 40 years is minus. Things get taken away. So I'm on a hard out mission to advance my own career, to do good things, but to do what I want, when I want, as often as I want, with whoever I want or not. And the only rule I break for that is with my wife. I say yes to whatever she says.
Yeah, good husband. It's so powerful now. Well, but one of the other things, I know a lot of the pieces that you've done, you've got a new series about mental health coming out and all of the other stuff, is we're obviously in New Zealand, and you're one of the content creators in the forefront on the mental health problems, suicide and the rest of it. Is I know through your story, you've had your ups and downs. Is there a worry that being on the other side of the table around that issues that it gets inside you?
Mm.
Do you ever worry about that? You know, like sitting there and you're talking to people in the stories, and I know some of the content you've got and it's coming and all the rest of it. Do you ever worry that sort of gets in your bones?
I mean, I did, but you know, Lawrence, I don't know if you have a story like this, but I can't relate to feeling like life's not worth living.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what that feels like. So like, I thought I might, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to understand, like, what can you do if like life just doesn't feel like living? Clearly people have this thought.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your thoughts on it, man? Like, it stumps me that we can, as like living things, want to self-terminate. And so that's what that podcast series is. It's a funded podcast. It's called Let's Get Pacific. A lot of my work is targeted towards Pacific communities, mm-hmm. because I am of that ethnicity, and you know, we're trying to find areas we can serve. But like, I wanted to understand what makes people say no to living.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, like, I won't go as bold to say like I have answers, but some of the things are quite straightforward. Like, you need to be able to express yourself. If you bottle that up,
mm-hmm.
ain't going nowhere good. You know, if you don't have someone you can trust in life, that's going to conflate that. And your body just goes and your body and mind just start to like turn on themselves. And so like, I don't know how you process it, but I've always had the feeling that, you know, I have someone to talk to, that I don't have to bottle things up. So it doesn't, it makes total sense that I can sit here with you today saying I don't have those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
But dude, there's so many people out there who don't have that. And so I wanted to bring them content that will at least talk to that, you know? And so we've launched our first season. That was 15 amazing podcasts. We've launching our second season of 7 podcasts, but it's going to be like 60 clips for TikTok. So we're making a push to say, like, if you're a young person, here's some people that will look and sound like you, who will give you some honest feedback as to how they're pulling themselves through the world.
Yeah, it's so true. It is an interesting space. Like you said, you know, you've never had that thought. I have.
Yeah.
You know, so I've been on the other side, and I've had that thought, I've been presented with two doors.
Right.
And I got a moment in life that I got presented, and it was the door out or the door stay.
Mm.
And the only reason I stayed was because of me remembering my South African upbringing that was fight for everything, or fight as hard as you can to get ahead. And only, I think, because of that did I not take the other door at that time in my life. But it's an interesting one because, you know, we see and we experience so much being on a table where we see and speak about so much, right? Like I said, you're a couple of hundred ahead of me, but so you said over 300 people or something that you've met, and the content that we are doing, or the interviews you are asking, is never comedy and humor and joking. It's the, you know, the laughing moment. Not the laughing moment, it's the serious moments. Like, I know this. Always joke to you going, I always want to try to make my guests cry because then I've asked the right questions, right? So over time, there's that stuff that comes from it, right? And there's the almost like the gray that you almost got to carry. And it's great if you say that, you know, through your time, you're doing stuff to bring awareness to this, but you're not carrying it on yourself as well. Because very few people can do that much and be around that much and not be almost tainted by it.
That's right. Yeah, like I've seen it within other family members I have, where like it's common in the Pacific communities where you're giving, but you don't have stuff to give.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's in a monetary value, you know, so you're giving to the church or you're giving to family and like you can't even feed your own kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, ironically, that's what these precursors to like suicide is, like the stress levels of that, you know, and like, yeah, but I didn't know, bro. Like I definitely thought about it. I'm like, I don't want anything to do with suicide. Mm-hmm. I don't want to look at that at all.
Yeah.
And so I had to trial it. And there was a couple episodes where they got really heavy and I took some time after just to like think through like, fuck, that's an intense story, you know. But just like you, think about how important it is you acknowledging that you stood in front of those two doors.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine your kids 30 years from now coming across this podcast.
Yeah.
And they're like, Dad, you never told us that, you know. So it's a question and it's a challenge to us all. Why are we so good at putting out on a podcast, you know? But in some ways, Lawrence, like, you know, if you're depressed or whatever that means, there's kind of two official ways of dealing with that. There's SSRI or antidepressant, and there's another thing called talk therapy.
Yeah.
This is talk therapy. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's why podcasting also got really popular, because it's given us permission to talk.
Yeah.
You know, and it probably makes sense that we would talk deeply because we're trying to process like the world around us, but it's a crazy world, bro.
It is. And COVID blew it all up, right?
Absolutely.
Blew it up, not in a bad way. It blew it up, made it all crazy because we were all stuck at home and couldn't do anything.
That's
And people just started recording through their cell phones and everything else to launch it. So it made it an interesting space.
It made it unfair because if you were already doing okay, you would say things like, oh, I'm using that time to advance my position.
Yeah.
Like I advanced my position. I realized what I didn't like in life and I took that chance to do what I want to do in life.
Yeah.
But if you weren't lucky enough to do that or didn't have the privilege to do that, you know, you found yourself at those riots. You know, you found yourself using it as the boogeyman that everyone tells us to look at. And I mean, those are the brutal things in life, and I don't know if I'll ever get my head around it, you know. You know, it's quite cruel. It's quite cruel, and, you know, I like my relationship with you because it signals we're trying to do positive things. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes a lot of guts to try that because most likely we won't succeed.
But at least we're trying.
Well, I mean, isn't that what every great movie tries to say, right? That it's you most likely won't do it, but every now and then, I always think of Rocky. You know, I think I've told this to Guy. Like, he wins at the end, and all we get is a freeze frame. Like, really?
Yeah.
You got to put this dude through the ringer.
Yeah.
And all we get is a damn freeze frame. You know, it's the same with every other movie. It's like, so what do you do with that? I don't know. The pursuit of trying, or. Yeah, I'll tell you when I work it out, and I think I'll work it out if I can sit there one day and have heaps of money in the bank doing it the way I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'll come back and come on your podcast, and I'll be able to hopefully give you a 10-step.
Awesome. Well, thanks for that. So as we're coming back to, you know, blown up through COVID and the rest of it, how do you see the impact of fallout in this world that we work in space? How do you see the impact of that from everyone did it in 2020, everyone walked away 2021, but there's still some lingering pieces and the rest of it. Do you think as much as allowed freedom, so we resolved some issues of people wanting to talk, do you think it tainted a little bit this industry or line of work that we're in?
It
became almost oversaturated?
Oh, I mean, it's 100% oversaturated. I think there's 800 million podcasts. Mm. If you listen to books where they talk about, if you read books on business, a lot of the real successful ones talk about, like, go to areas where lots of people are not.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the space to do that, you know? And I would encourage anyone, if you wish to go viral, stay away from this.
Yeah.
This is the wrong, maybe TikTok doing kind of interviews with rich people. That's worth doing. But don't just come on and talk deep with your friends and think you're going to go viral. Do it because you love it. Hmm. Do it because there's a need in you to want to connect with people. Podcasting is still the single best way to get time with influential people that replaces the coffee.
Yeah.
So every rich person or every successful person gets 30 people asking a day, can we have coffee?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is no. But can you do my podcast?
Yeah.
Well, there's a bit of ego there. Yeah, I'll come do your podcast. You know, so, but yeah, I mean, it's so saturated. And remember, like, it's getting more easier to, you know, edit, to buy microphones.
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago, like, it was still these microphones that Joe Rogan made popular, the SMB7s. Mm-hmm. Before Joe Rogan, what made them popular was Michael Jackson recorded Thriller on them. And then like 40 years went by.
Yeah.
And then Joe Rogan decided to use them. Now you see them in every podcast studio. So like, that's how crazy it is. And, you know, I don't know where it's going to go. Where do you think it's going to go?
It's an interesting space because where it was, say, 15 years ago to where it starts to where it is now, there's only been a subtle change. So technology has changed. Don't get me wrong. So it's better quality, sounds better, looks better. But the only change that I've really seen in the last 18 months, it's gone from one-to-one to many-to-one. So we're seeing this whole I'm impulsive, this bigger couch scene. Even the Joe Rogan's going to multi, right? He's doing more multi-sessions. So it's him and like multiple guests. So the only change I'm seeing, it's more of that. And then you start seeing those, you know, left side, right side. So left wing, right wing, you know, again, but it's multi to multi. So it's an interesting trend. I don't know where that's going to go. I think the reason why I think it's moving that way is because outside of maybe 5 or 10, the likes of like maybe like a Mel Robbins or some, not Mel Robbins, Jay Shetty and stuff, very few people can run 300 episodes and be entertaining continuously. I think in what we're seeing is we're seeing the younger generation coming up not actually understanding how to have a human conversation, and therefore you are good for about 10%. I'm good for about 10%. So we're going to put more of you in the room. and therefore we should have a decent conversation with a mix of about 6 or 8 people.
Makes sense.
Because I'm seeing that I see very few, and I'm happy to be caught out, and you can call me also. I'm seeing very few Gen Z podcasts of one-to-one or one host that is of high quality of the host being able to handle any conversation.
Interesting.
Most of them are multis.
Mm.
So, and I'm wondering if that's just a style, or I'm wondering if that's a skill level that our kids' generation, my daughter's Gen Z, my son's Gen Alpha, don't know how to have conversations.
I mean, it's 100, like, talk about, you know, the gap. That's the gap.
Yeah.
Don't start a podcast. Teach your kids how to chat with you.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably one of the gifts we had growing up without too many distractions is like talking was a thing you kind of had to do.
Yeah.
Unless you just wanted to play with a ball all day. Yeah. You had to come up with stories and bullshit your way with your friends.
I mean, one of the things most of us should have grown up with is the dinner table. And you being from the Cook Island as part of your culture, I'm assuming that is part of big part of the culture, right? That the whole dinner table, everyone sits down and everyone sits down and talks, right? And that's where I don't know if as a young kid you spoke, but you listened and you learned a lot.
That's in Pacific culture, this very hierarchical.
Correct.
So, and that's not always good, but it is good where it's like, shut up and listen.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can grow up and do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But look, all cultures I think had that. And some still do that. But yeah, no, there's definitely an epidemic with like, when is your time to be quiet? Mm-hmm. When is your time to express? Mm-hmm. And I think those aren't clear online because it's everything all at once online.
Yeah. Yeah. So from that, my biggest thing I think is, I think it's just going to be seeing evolution in the space is I think we're going to see the product evolve as we see a deterioration of the way society is evolving. So society is not evolving in certain spaces to the better. And then also we're going to see an involvement of AI come into space. And I don't even want to go down that kettle because now we're talking about, you know, fake imagery and videos and ghost moms, right, and all the rest of it. So you could have a full AI podcast generated from content, from a search, from the rest of it. So you can literally go, this is what I'm assuming is going to happen 10 years' time, is you're going to go into Google or whatever the search engine and going, cool, I want to hear an episode between Wolf Fleming and Trevor Noah, and I want them to talk about the war in the Middle East. And 10 minutes later, bing, yep. There's AI-driven, generated, and it's all fake, and it's all bull. I mean, that's a craziness where it can go to, right?
And can you imagine a world where we're 60 and we're like prime, you know, because we were the ones who had real conversations.
Yep.
So maybe we become really valuable. I mean, that's how crazy life is. We don't know. You know, I have this argument with my filmmaker friends all the time. Like,
we were like, Guy.
Yeah, not to mention names like Guy Pigden, director of such films as Older and I Survived the Zombie Holocaust, that, you know, why would you go to film school anymore if most likely you can type a film up in a couple years? Well, maybe people like who went to film school, who made films back in the day before you could do that, become extremely valuable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe they don't. But, you know, that's crazier things have happened. You know,
that is true. As you sort of get into the end of today, Will, and talking about your circle, you know, of your podcasting game and how you've been in it for a decade and all the rest, and, you know, and the learnings are coming across that and what you're driving in the community and what you're trying to drive in the message out there. What's something you want to leave us with?
Go viral in your own home. You know, think about if you're lucky enough to have both parents here, then record them and think about the day where one of them passes on and that piece of content will be viral, so viral in your own family.
Mm-hmm.
Think about your kids' kids who it will go viral again within your own family. Don't just think about it as like, oh, that was nice. That will be the key to your identity, who you are, who they are. Mm-hmm. Don't be like other people who, when the lights go out, their story's forgotten, you know? So use the content. It's cool. You can have an ego. You can want to do it. Like the best case scenario for me is I'm not on podcasts anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had my time to dabble with it.
Yeah.
I've realized that I still get a kick from being behind the desk to listening into podcasts, to using those skills to drive me in other places. yeah, I guess I'd just say, like, seize the moment today, and I'm talking to you, Lawrence, to really take seriously the power you have with recording,
mm-hmm.
whether it's on your phone, your laptop. Like, how many Zooms do we have a week? Hundreds.
Mm.
Why don't we just Zoom record someone from our family?
Yeah.
If you did that and you have that, you know, archived, you just sleep a tiny bit better.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's amazing. And thanks so much for that. Well,
absolutely.
And as we're coming up to the end of the show, to everyone, you know, as I say at the end of the show, there's something today that you can take from, you know, there's a lot from Wall and what he's focused on. And a big thing you'll notice is trying to, in the world that we played, myself and Wall, in the podcast game and the content game, there's something underlying in that, is we're underlying that there is a history we can save. So, yes, you want to go on and do something, but also we can save memories, we can save imagery, and we can save voices of the people of the past by utilizing these platforms and cataloging, as he says, to maybe make it that you can have further memories and more ghost moms of your relatives, right? But a total interesting space in that. But thanks, everyone, for coming over, and as always. And as I said in the show, it's not about sharing or liking. It's about taking something away from today that's important to yourself or important to someone else, or letting them come over and seeing if they need something to pick from the show. But thanks, always, for supporting it, and thanks for coming for the Wolf of Queen Street podcast. And as always, see you tomorrow.